30 years ago this weekend, Richard Milhouse Nixon went before a national television audience to announce his resignation. Nixon died 10 years ago, yet he remains very much with us through movies, novels, music, even toys. David Darcy reports.
Richard Nixon put his imprint on popular culture as soon as he got to Congress in 1947. He demanded that the Hollywood studios ban suspected communists from the industry. It was Nixon's first enemies list, and it made him lots of enemies. When Washington Post cartoonist Herb Bloch kept drawing Nixon with a 5 o'clock shadow and dark, angry eyebrows, the vice president canceled his subscription. That portrait endures.
The image of Nixon, I think, that survives most in popular culture is the knave, America's leading political villain.
David Greenberg is the author of Nixon's Shadow, a study of Nixon's political image.
When you see Nixon on The Simpsons or on referred to on sitcoms or you're referred to in the movies, it's still Nixon the scoundrel, Nixon the traducer of the Constitution, Nixon as a symbol for politicians doing things they shouldn't be doing.
Hi, Bart.
What's up?
Oh, you brought someone.
Yeah, this is Milhouse. He's my best friend because, well, geographical convenience, really.
In film, Robert Altman gave the Nixon administration a role of sorts in Brewster McCloud about a boy who wants to fly.
I remember one scene where the blackbird in the cage, the bottom of the bird cage, there was a big splat. You know, they put papers in the bottom of the thing. It was an Agnew headline. So we just splattered, shotgunned that whole Brewster McCloud thing with jabs at that Nixon White House at that time.
Nixon the man was a natural as a fictional character, says Jay Holberman, film critic for The Village Voice.
Nixon is really almost Shakespearean in his complexity. I mean, he's so juicy. He's so full of contradictions. Actors have had a field day with Nixon. I mean, Jason Robards did a great Nixon, Rip Torn, in another miniseries was a wonderful Nixon. And I think that writers have picked up on different aspects. Nixon's paranoia is something that Philip Roth used in Our Gang. Coover in The Public Burning is concerned with Nixon's hypocrisy and in Secret Honor, the Altman film. Nixon is sort of comic and pitiful at the same time.
Secret Honor was Robert Altman's 1984 film of a one-man play with Philip Baker Hall as a tormented Nixon.
Well, I'll tell you this. He took the hardest possible way. He chose to orchestrate the tapes like a great drama. He chose Secret Honor.
In the years after Watergate, even Neil Young found some pity for the ex-president.
I hardly slept the night you wed. Our secret's safe and still we'll care. Where even Richard Nixon has got soul. Even Richard Nixon has got soul.
By the late 1980s, composer John Adams put the pre-Watergate president in his opera, Nixon in China. This Nixon is downright rhapsodic. John Rockwell writes about culture for the New York Times.
What's interesting about Nixon in China, in part, is that it came 12, 13 years after the events. All the hatred that people felt about Nixon seems to have sort of, to some extent, bled away. He's almost a kind of comic bumbling figure and kind of endearing in certain ways.
Nixon's legacy to popular culture even includes an early version of reality television, says Joe McGinnis, who wrote The Selling of the President, 1968. He says Nixon and Roger Ailes, the TV talk show producer who created commercials for the so-called New Nixon, changed the business of political advertising.
What Ailes had to start with was Richard Nixon, the man who was aloof, withdrawn, taciturn, grumpy, not qualities that televised terribly well. And what Roger found he had to do since he wasn't going to be able to change Nixon the man, was to change the atmosphere surrounding him, to surround Nixon with what appeared to be normal Americans engaging in a give and take, which Nixon was enjoying. All this was completely artificial, of course, but to the viewer, it appeared as if it was all spontaneous. This is something that I think we've seen with almost every candidate who's not a natural showman ever since.
Roger Ailes went on to head Fox News. Television created Nixon the president, McGinnis says, and the televised Watergate hearings ended his presidency. Nixon and Watergate fed an appetite for investigative journalism for a time, says John Dean, the former White House counsel who testified against Nixon.
The short-term legacy of Nixon was indeed a much more critical view of the presidency, which I happen to think was healthy. I think the fact that we are now giving this extreme deference is somewhat troubling, that we're not looking as critically at presidencies as we used to.
Yet the popular treatment of Nixon always returns to dark caricature, says David Greenberg. Nixon's face, he says, is the most popular political Halloween mask in America.
There's something about that Nixon mask that I think gives people a sense that all bets are off, all rules are broken. But there's also a way in which the mask, I think, symbolizes a performance. It's all being staged.
Sometimes the simplest objects can capture the deepest truths.
Someone gave me an inflatable punching bag with Nixon's body on the front and on the back, and you knock it over, and it stays down for a second and bounces right back up. And it's sort of classic Nixon coming back every time. He won't stay down.
For NPR News, I'm David Darcy in New York.